ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं विष्णुं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. We are studying the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita called Akshara Brahma Yoga. The essence of this 8th chapter is there is only one reality and the name of that reality is Brahma and the nature of that reality Brahma is Akshara, imperishable, it is one, it is eternal, it is infinite, it is imperishable and all of us are none other than that Paramatma. For some mysterious reason called Maya, consisting of the three gunas of the Divine Lord, this world has come into creation. All of us have been created in this world with the help of these three gunas. And these very three gunas, thinking that there is a world and I am part of the world, I am experiencing this world, is consisting of this delusion called Maya. This Maya also is the creation of God by the will of God. He himself covers as it were himself and like we dream and we create. In fact, there is no creation, but it appears as though as if everything is real, just exactly like when we dream. We never say it is a dream. We always say it is reality. Only upon waking up, we cognize that it is the dream. So, the Divine Lord has created. Do not ask why He created. He need not have created. Was He getting bored? No. No explanation is ever necessary. He who is the very embodiment of Ananda can never become bored. Bored means very unhappy. He can never become unhappy. He is eternally happy. So why? It is a mystery. It remains a divine mystery. No one can answer. Is there any way out to get out of this Maya? Yes. Go on practicing remembrance of God. That means remembrance of your own true nature. As Swamiji had put it, each soul is potentially divine. The goal of my life is to manifest my own divinity. And I can manifest my divinity not only by recognizing I am divine and everything in this world is also divine. And these two aids, the thought that I am divine, so also everything else that I experience, the experiencer and the experienced, the sakshi and the sakshya, the knower and the known, everything is nothing but a divine play. Everything is divine ultimately. A great Brahmalila is going on. And to understand that I am divine, everything else is also divine, we have to do a special spiritual practice. In this 8th chapter, that spiritual practice is called constant practice of the remembrance of God. And if we can remember, practice remembering God as much as possible, and if we are sincere about it, at the end, meaning when this body is about to fall off, then our dominant thought, not only a dominant words that come out of our mouth, but a dominant thought, dominant feeling, because of this long practiced remembrance, only God will come at the last thought, last bhavana, feeling, lost knowledge. With that thinking of God, surrendering ourselves to Him totally, if we are successful in giving up this body, then the Lord is telling that such a person attains me. Therefore, start practicing right now. If anybody has any doubt, what does it really give me? How do I benefit by giving up this body at the last moment, remembering God? For that, in the 15th verse, the Lord had promised, Mam upetya punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanaha samsiddhim paramamgataha. Having come to me, these high-souled men are no more subject to rebirth, which is transitory, and the abode of pain, but they have reached the highest perfection. There are certain facts the Lord is explaining here. First of all, birth is painful, growth is painful. Youth, to be a young person, the most painful thing. Most of us are covered by Maya, and that's why we consider youth, young age, as the best in the whole age. Our body is very strong, senses are very strong, our capacity to enjoy any sense object is the highest at that time. This is the just a few fleeting years of youth. This is the best period of our life. Just like a honey bee not knowing that it is going to court to death when it goes to sip the honey in a flower. Similarly, we think this kind of sense enjoyment the highest goal of life. There are two problems with it. Any enjoyment is preceded and succeeded by its opposite, unhappiness. I have to suffer from hunger when I can enjoy, when I get good food. And after eating food, I have to go on digesting it, working very hard to become again hungry. Only then, by next eating, brings some type of joy. And even when we are able to obtain, most of the time, we are not able to get what we really desire. We just adjust with make do. Okay, what can I do? This is the best I can get, and then I have to put up with it. This constant adjustment, resignation to what we cannot get, this is what people call happiness. If we are not resigned, we have to pay heavy price of dissatisfaction, grumbling, and thwarted desire turns into anger, etc. That is why Bhagavan Buddha had taught, life is full of suffering. He is not talking about extra suffering, like when a person loses his money, his job, or suddenly some infection attacks, and we are all highly experienced now for the last 4-5 months, how this tiniest of the organisms has made everybody completely lie down without the least bit of differentiation, rich or poor, etc. So, what was Buddha talking about? Existential suffering. Existence itself is suffering. Why? He said, to be born is painful, to grow up painful. We know how our parents have to suffer just to keep us alive, to keep us a little bit happy, and how many things we go through. Then when we grow, egotism grows. Our desires grow. Most of the desires remain unfulfilled. Hardly we get to enjoy anything. If we honestly look back and examine, analyze our past lives, most of our past life, including the present life, is full of suffering. But that is not only that much. Then we become old, then we may be attacked by diseases. Finally, we have to say goodbye to this beloved body, to this beloved all the family members. Everything that we know, everything is totally remains hidden from us, not erased, but hidden. So our scriptures tell, we are reborn again to go through the same painful rigmarole until we really get moksha. The only way to get out of this rebirth is to get liberation, and liberation from the clutches of Maya. And Maya is the power of God. Until we surrender ourselves to God, and God graciously removes our ignorance by granting right buddhi, right knowledge, dhiyaha, dhiyo yonaha, prachodaya, we have to go on suffering. Now this is one side of Buddha's explanation of life is full of suffering. We have to remember, Buddha was a prince. And he was a very handsome man, highly intelligent, absolutely pure, dharmic, and he was endowed with physical, intellectual, aesthetic, moral, and highly developed spiritual faculties. And he married a most beautiful woman, and he really enjoyed what is called sensory life. He even got a very beautiful, intelligent child. As many of us know, later on, he went and asked his father, when he met his father for the first time in Kapilavastu, "Father, what is my heritage?" And Buddha smiled and said, "The highest I can give you is the way to liberation." So he gave him sannyasa, because Buddha knew everything else is very ephemeral, very temporary. So what was Buddha talking about? However happy a person is, even for a short time, first of all, it is for a short time. Second, as I mentioned, it is sandwiched between its opposites, which is nothing but unhappiness. Thirdly, it is very dissatisfactory, meaning that while we are happy in one respect, there are a million other aspects in which we are completely, thoroughly dissatisfied. Then the next, whenever we fulfill a desire, feel very happy, we are creating a deep samskara of bondage. I want to repeat the same experience. Temporary, kshanika, ananda, we call it. So all these, even if a person, because of great sukruta, punya, merit, the person enjoyed, earned in his past life, even if he is in the highest heaven, but as at the end of that sukruta, he has to come back. This is a negative description of even the highest enjoyment. But Buddha was not even talking about that. He knew what he was talking about. He knew that every person is divine. If he only comes to know who he really is, that ananda, that which he gains, in fact, he doesn't gain, he doesn't lose, he never lost it. He merely, it's a cognition in the mind that I am ananda swarupa. My very nature is nothing but ananda. Compared to that infinite happiness, any finite happiness is the greatest dukkha in the whole world. This is what exactly Buddha was trying to say. Life is full of suffering. You know, at the end of the Second World War, a special school of philosophy suddenly sprung up because of very negative, painful experiences in life. And this philosophy is called existential philosophy. Is the essence of this existential philosophy is existence is full of suffering. And people have no choice, excepting only one choice, that of committing suicide. Of course, we can understand it is a very negative type of outlook on life. But what does Vedanta say? It says that this life is full of unhappiness, full of suffering, full of pain. But who created it? God has created. God deliberately never puts himself into any type of suffering. If he had created, there must be some meaning behind it. What is that meaning? Gradually to make us realize our true nature, which is ananda swarupa, sat chit ananda swarupa. This is a completely opposite to the existential philosophy. This is called Vedanta philosophy. Life is pure, life is sacred, life is full of joy, and even the greatest misery is the greatest blessing of God, because the purpose of sukha and dukkha, purpose of both is only one. How to make us turn our mind from this ephemeral world, or how to make us look at this world with a pure camera, then we will see it is not a world, it is not full of suffering, it is Brahman himself playing with himself. So all the pain that we have to go through life after life of millions of births is to train us in the art of controlling our mind, becoming pure, obtaining self-knowledge. And this is the most wonderful positive philosophy that Vedanta conveys to all of us. Why does a person need to get married? Why does nature make a person get married? Not to make him go through three rings, engagement ring, wedding ring, and suffering. No, it is to make the person get out of selfishness. A lone person, single person, usually becomes very, very selfish. When he joins with another person, he learns how to share, how to adjust, and how to be responsible for both of them, wife and husband, man and woman, learn. As children start coming, that mind is expanded so that he knows how to love, not because he gets any reward, but in spite of going through so many troubles, etc. So, Srishti has a meaning, Maya has a meaning, and that meaning is to go back from where we have come to that eternal abode of joy, which is God. So, this is what we discussed in our last class. O Arjuna, this world and rebirth, all the experiences we go through, this is Dukkhalayam. It is an abode of misery and suffering. Ashashvatam. It is absolutely momentary, very ephemeral, very temporary. Then what is the remedy? O Lord, Maam Upetyatu. But if you can somehow come to me, and there are so many people, Mahatmanah, great souls, Samsiddhim Paramam Gata, attained perfection. What is perfection? They have attained me. Attained me means they have become me. They realized we are God. God is none other than all of us. Whatever is only one, and that is God. So, how to get him? Get to that state of perfection by practicing constant remembrance. And until you practice, you will have to go through this again and again, birth, rebirth, same experience. But I have to tell you something here. Every life, we are not going through exactly same experience. Something we learn. Some people learn slowly. Some people learn quite quickly. But everyone, what I said earlier, we are all standing. The whole world is standing on an escalator. And the purpose of the escalator is to take us back to our own home. Manachalo Nijaniketani. Some people make extra effort besides standing. They start walking, they reach sooner, and some other people, they reach a bit late. After all, what is time? This is what we discussed earlier. To reinforce this idea, until you reach me, you are going to be born many, many times, O Arjuna. But where am I going to be born? Well, I have created billions of worlds. I have created billions of worlds. This was the idea I left you with in my last class. In the 16th verse, the Lord is telling this, A Brahma Bhuvana Lokaha Punaravartino Arjuna Maam Upetyatu Kaunteya Punarjanma Navidyate. He Kaunteya Maam Upetya Punarjanma Navidyate. Until that time, O Arjuna, A Brahma Bhuvanat Lokat, beginning from the world of Brahma until the lowest world, every birth in this world is a repetition. There is birth, rebirth first. Second, there is no guarantee. Man always goes from a lower birth to a higher birth. Hinduism had recognized long back our future bodies, our future birth, jati, ayu, bhoga, in which species we are born as human beings, as gods, or as lower than non-human beings, etc. It depends upon our karma that we have done in our past lives. Then, what is our ayurdaya? It's very interesting. These fundamental ideas have to be drilled into our deep unconscious until we need not think of them anymore, but they influence our behavior. What is it? No person can die before the time comes. Just as there is a manufacturing date and an expiry date. Each one of us, including a mosquito. I am giving that example because a mosquito has a birth date and it also has an expiry date, death date. But all mosquitoes don't die at the same time. If a few mosquitoes are biting you, you may be capable of giving moksha to a few mosquitoes. They sooner they die, and maybe by your holy touch they will get into higher birth. But every creature has got its own ayurdaya. All creatures do not die exactly at the same time. There is also bhagya. Some animals escape and then they die the ripe old age, whether it's a dog, a deer, or a lion, anything else. Just watch documentaries, you will understand it. So, there is a further question comes. Of course, you know, that question may not come into most of your minds, but I am troubling you by posing these questions. It is said that only human beings are responsible for their actions. How animals are responsible? Well, there is this mysterious fact. Some animals live happily, some live very unhappily. For example, dogs, street dogs and pet dogs, etc. And we don't know the reason. So we have to assume, since this is an effect, there must be a cause. Life is mystery. World is a mystery. We don't have answers to most of the questions. And even the few answers that we have are not 100% certain. Only if we start believing in the scriptures, we assume them as real, true, and then we adopt them and develop a particular attitude according to these beliefs. Well, you see, there are so many worlds are there, but all worlds are temporary, and again we have to be reborn. And O Arjuna, O spiritual aspirant, if you are awake to this fact of life, that life is fleeting and I may have to come back again, if I do not realize God, then like Sri Ramakrishna, you become anxious. So practice from now onwards, not next year, not 6 months after, not next month, next day, but from now onwards, go on remembering, especially earnest prayer. Oh Lord, I am very weak, I don't have any sadhana. You please, out of your boundless grace, endow me with what is necessary. Make me do what I need to do. Make me speak what I need to. Jaman bolao, timni boli. Jaman korao, timni kori. Make me do. That was the Sharanagati Prapatti Marga Sri Ramakrishna had practiced and preached to all of us and said, that is the only way out. There is no other way. Coming back to our subject now, A Brahma means beginning from the world of Brahma. Among the most enjoyable world, Brahma Loka is the highest. It is also called Satya Loka. So, in the popular belief, there are the lowest division of all the worlds are three. Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Swaha. Every day, those people who chant Gayatri, Om Bhurvo Swaha, that means Bhuloka and Swargaloka, and in between whatever is there. This is the lowest, simplest category division. Then there is Chaturdasha Bhuvanani, 14 worlds. Beginning from Brahmaloka, lower 6 worlds or higher worlds, Swargaloka, etc. As we go from the next higher world until we reach the highest, which is called Brahmaloka, all these lokas give more and more and more happiness. But the Lord says categorically, even if a person reaches Brahmaloka, until he starts practicing remembrance of God and he attains to that state, mechanically he goes on remembering, but he has to practice a long time, and this remembering God must be made into conscious remembering. That is the meaning of japa, not mechanical remembrance, but conscious, fully awakened remembrance. So japa is not repetition, it is remembrance, conscious remembrance. Go on practicing, and one day it becomes unconscious. Unconscious but full of awareness. Such a person, he will attain moksha. But until that state is reached, by performing many meritorious actions, a person may attain to the highest world and he will not get any relief. Of course, he will enjoy, and that is also temporary. As our scriptures tell us repeatedly, Brahmaloka, that is many, many aeons together, he will be with Brahma, because Brahma's ayurdhaya is 100 years. But 1 year, 100 years, each year has got 365 days. Every day is 1000 yugas, sahasra yugam. In this very chapter, we are going to see a few shlokas later on. Thousands of yugas form 12 hours of the daylight of Brahma's life and 12 hours of, again, that night is Brahma's night. What does that mean? When Brahma awakens, this whole creation starts. Then Brahma goes to sleep at night to bed, and then the whole creation subsides into him. Now Brahma is not an individual God. Brahma is the collective soul, universal soul, consisting of this entire universe. In Vedantic language, he is the Ishvara. So this Brahma Loka, if you go there, enjoy there, because of when the merit comes, Kshine Punye Matya Lokam Vishanti, at the exhaustion of that credit card, then we have to come back, if at all we happen to go there, and again and again and again we have to go through. What is the idea? O Arjuna, O aspirant, start remembering me. So if you want permanent happiness, infinite happiness, only by reaching me and by remembering me. A Brahma Bhuvana Lokaha Punaha Avartinaha. Again and again one comes from there, falls down rather, and goes back again, falls down again. This repeats for a long time until the person becomes a jignasu, practices approaching a Sadguru, and then in the end, Bahunam Janmanamante attains God realization. But is there any remedy for this? Yes. Mam Upetya Tu. But Mam Upetya, having obtained me, realized me, having known that I am you, I am the Atman, Kaunteya, Punarjanma Navidyate. There is no rebirth. That is the end of it. I just want to add beautiful meaning for this world loka. How many lokas we have talked about? First we talked about three worlds, Bhu, Bhuvaha and Swaha. Next I mentioned in our Puranas, etc., it is Chaturdasha Bhuvanani. So, seven upper worlds, seven worlds below. So, that lower seven begins with human birth, then the lowest of it is called Patala, Atala, Sutala, Tala, Tala, and at the end we get Patala. The meaning of the word Loka is Lokyate, Bhujyate, Iti Lokaha. What a person experiences, that is his loka. What does it mean? If a child is being bitten by a very stinging red ant or a scorpion, when he is experiencing that intolerable pain and crying, in which world he is living? In the world of that pain. Even on this earth, even in this body. When a person is having a beautiful family, loving family, and everyone loves everybody, and everybody is trying to share their happiness, sukha, dukha, both with everybody else. Such a loving family, let me tell you, extremely rare in this world. Most of the time, quarrels, and some of the time, adjustment, because we cannot get out of that situation. So, a child lives in a child's world. Man lives in his world. The woman lives in her world. A poor man lives in his world. A rich man lives in his world. A learned man lives in his world. An Einstein lives in his world. And a prime minister lives in his world. A president lives in his world. What am I talking about? A mosquito lives in its world. A young mosquito lives in a young mosquito world. A female mosquito lives in a mosquito's female world. So, as many creatures as there are, so because of the experiences they go through, we are all living billions and billions of this world. There was an incident in our Puranas. There was a rishi called Lomasa Maharshi. Loma means hairs. He was a hairy ape. Once he happened to meet another devotee, and of course this man, this rishi, was highly revered, and he was supposed to be having a long life. So this devotee asked, Maharshi, when were you born? Because he appeared to be very ancient. And he says, I don't remember. When I was born like this body, with this body, full of, like an ape, billions and billions of hairs. And each hair, when it falls down, it is equivalent to 100 years of my life. So, only just a few hairs had fallen down. And now you see, more than 3/4 of my body is covered. So many years I am going to live on this earth. What is the point? I don't know whether he is really enjoying it or he is no other way but to go on suffering. So we can know Ashwatthama was given the curse that may you be a Chiranjeevi. and it is said he is living even now. Similarly, there are some people, Markandeya was one, Hanuman is one of them, Vibhishana was one of them, and so is Ashwatthama was one of them. But Ashwatthama's life is a miserable life because he was pardoned after he killed the 5 sons of Pandavas. Krishna had shaved his head, removed the jewel which was supposed to be on his head from his birth, like Karna Kundala, Karna's earrings. So, and insulting him, he cursed him, "May you live very long, suffering all the papas you have done in this world by following a life of unrighteousness, adharma." So that Chiranjeevi's life is absolutely an intolerable pain. He can't die. He can't get rid of this pain. It is a most horrible naraka. So where was Ashwatthama living? In the world of naraka, pure naraka. Okay, what about Hanuman? Hanuman, the greatest devotee of God. Every second, pratikshanam vardhamanam. As he goes on remembering Rama's name, his joy is growing from strength to strength, and it has possessed him. So even if he lives billions of years, it doesn't matter because it is a life of Swargaloka. What Sri Ramakrishna used to call, "Ami chini hote chayina, ami chini khete chay." I want to enjoy, so I would like to keep God at a distance. Any time I can become one with Him. But I prefer not to become one. I prefer to enjoy keeping beloved Rama in front of me, in front of my physical eyes, in front of my mental eye, and he has become Ramamaya. Can we understand Hanuman? Because he was called Jnaninam Agraganyam, the foremost among the knowers of Brahman. And yet he exemplifies how a devotee should live. Then what is his role there? To serve Rama, Rama Seva. What is the Rama Seva he could do? Because wherever people want or struggling to get some love, some devotion for Rama, sincerely, Hanuman immediately is present. How do you know? Yatra yatra Raghunatha kirtanam, tatra tatra ritamastakanjalim, bashpavari paripurna lochanam, marutim namata rakshasantakam. This is a most wonderful stuti of Hanuman. Wherever Ramanama is there, Hanuman is present. So if a sincere devotee is struggling to keep Rama in memory and he is praying, Hanuman understands. So he creates such situations where this devotee goes on increasing. So Hanuman's job is to go on searching for the devotees of God. Rama means here not Sri Rama opposite to Sri Krishna, etc. There are some fanatical sects are there. They accept Rama was an incarnation, but Krishna is the most important in that. So this Maha Mantra, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, they don't want to start with that. They reverse it and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, then Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It works only for the first time. When he does it second time, which is first and which is next, God alone will know. So what is Hanuman's business? Like Swami Vivekananda, Hanuman's business is to find out sincere devotees of God and help them to grow into a full-fledged devotee of God, like himself. Until he helps the people, he deliberately kept mukti at a distance away, so that his only service is to help devotees reach Rama. He is what is called a boatsman, who takes us across this world of samsara like a guru. And Hanuman is called a guru. I told many times, the most important character in the whole of Ramayana is only Hanuman. Whole of Ramayana is an illustration that Hanuman is called in South India Mukhya Prana. Mukhya Prana means guru. Who is a guru? He brings God to us in his heart and brings it from within his heart and hands over that God to us with the help of a mantra or Ramanama. And when we are ready, he again carries Sri Rama from the Vaikuntha to here and brings and says, "Here is your devotee. Now you become one. My job is finished. I am returning back." That is the meaning of Rama Seva, and for that he doesn't want to die. It's of course a funny story I told sometimes. When Rama decided to end his mission on earth. He called Hanuman, he called everybody, and he said, tomorrow I am going back to Vaikuntha, so those who want, come with me. Everybody, all the citizens in Ayodhya, they all agreed. But Hanuman made Sastranga Pranam, South Indian, you see. So South Indian, North Indian, when he makes Pranam, he just bends his body and does Artha Sirsarsana like that, and he touches the feet. But South Indian, Sa Ashta Anga Pranama, he has to do it. So he made a pranam and said, no. Rama was shocked or pretended to be shocked. What, Hanuman? I want you to come with me. Don't you want to come with me? Another pranam he made, no. Then Rama asked, why is it? Don't you love me? Yes, I love you the most. Then why are you refusing to come to Vaikuntha with me? He made another Sastranga pranam and said, explain to him, your buddhi seems, O Rama, slightly, it is rusty, I am going to enlighten you. So when you return to Vaikuntha, what dress you will be wearing normally? It is not Rama's dress, it is this horrible Narayana's dress. Four hands, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, and that is not Maishtra Devata's form. Maishtra Devata is Rama, with Sita, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna, and myself, Hanumat Sameta, with Dhanur, Bana, etc. Always Mandahasa will be there. And I have been thinking about you from my very birth in that forum. I don't want to change it now. So what will you do, Hanuman? Okay, I will go to a lonely place. Previously, I have to serve you in that way. Now I will be serving your devotees so that I can ply them to you. I will become the boatsman. Boatsman means guru. Karnadhara is called the pilot of a boat. Karnadhara. Kandore Thakurir Kache Niye Jai. That is called Karnadhara. Guru. So what am I talking about? That everyone is living in his or her own world. Every living creature. Trees, insects, birds, animals, human beings. All of us. None of us are living in the other person's world. That is why how many worlds are there? Billions and billions of worlds are there. But what is the nature of all these worlds? It is a matter of full bondage now, but gradually we will all evolve until one day we realize our true nature, claim our own kingdom, Swarajya, and that would be the end of the rebirth. What is the message the Lord is sending to us? That, O Arjuna, accepting me, there is no other way. But if you want my grace, then you start practicing how to remember me from now onwards. A time will come when your mind will not remember anything, doesn't want to remember anything. The only joyful thing is God's name. And when you reach that state, then you have reached that state of perfection. You can joyfully give up body. In most of our cases, it is the body which leaves us. We don't want to leave it. But in this case, a person joyfully lives because the body is a limitation. The mind is a limitation. That divine soul wants to go to God and then be with him forever. This is a beautiful point I wanted to bring and discuss in this particular class. Earlier, I said something that even if a person happens to go to Brahmaloka, as I mentioned, Brahmaloka, the highest dualistic happiness is obtained. And that can be obtained only by doing tremendous meritorious deeds, unselfish deeds for many, many births. And what is the lifespan of this Brahma? I already mentioned, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahaha Yad Brahmanaha Viduhu Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam Te Aho Ratra Vidho Janaha. Those who know that the day of Brahma lasts 1,000 aeons. Here day means only 12 hours. And that the night of the Brahma, the night of 12 hours, lasts 1,000 yugas again. Are indeed the people who know day and night. There are people who are extraordinarily wise people. They know the truth. They are the realized souls. Only they know even Brahmaloka is very temporary period. As I said, compared to infinity, however large or long time or big something is, it is absolutely less than an atom. You cannot at all compare anything. 1,000 yugas, one yuga is an unimaginably long time, such 1,000 yugas, aeons, become 12 hours of the daylight, similarly 12 hours of the night time. So, what is the daytime, what is the night time? The Lord is very, very briefly, He is only mentioning it here. The details we get elsewhere. What is it? That Brahma, just as our day and night is divided into day and night. What do we do? Daytime, as soon as we get up, we engage ourselves in various activities. What do we do at night? We wind up everything and go to bed. That's exactly what Brahma also does it. But what is his activity? Creation. And what is his winding up? So creation starts, lasts for thousands of yugas, and at the end, just as a spider withdraws all its web into its body, Brahma withdraws the whole creation into himself and projects them again next day morning. This process goes on eternally. Please keep this in mind because it has implications which we will discuss in the future. So, important point we have to remember here is that Brahmaloka, just like day and night, subject to time. So, whoever is subject to time, what comes into manifestation also goes out of manifestation. That's important point. So, Brahma also is born, Brahma also dies after 100 years. Then again, God creates another Brahma, and as I mentioned, not one Brahma, as many worlds are there, so many Brahmas, billions and billions of Brahmas are there. So, just that much we have to remember. Now, one point, we are done with this shloka, that is, oh, am I going to be so happy for 1,000 yugas like that? A person may think, not 1,000 yugas, 1,000 yugas is only 12 hours. Another 1,000 yugas, that means 2,000 yugas consists one day, 124 hours of Brahma. Such days, 365 days, 1 year, 100 years is the Purna Ayurdaya, full lifespan of Brahma. Oh, it is a wonderful, we can be very happy, but be cautious. What is it? Just as when you are very happy, it happens, you don't remember time. That means hours or even days just pass just like few seconds. In the same way, you don't remember my Ayurdaya is going to be so many years, so much, such a long time, I don't need to worry at all. No, sir. Just as you are born, already you find, you look back and say, oh my God, I have become old and it is time for me to kick the bucket. So also, exactly in the same way, that because you are very happy, you don't even remember, this is at the time of death, that means being kicked out of Brahmaloka, you just open your eyes, my sir, what is, where is the justice? I just, 1 second back you brought me here. I read in the Bhagavad Gita that I have got so many thousands and thousands of years of life here. Then the Yamaduta will answer you, my friend, that you have lived so much time because you are so happy, you did not remember it. Now it is time. Somebody kicked you up, Dharma kicked you up. Now your Papa will kick you down and again you will be born. This fact, again, Bhagavad Gita has told us so many times, it is going to tell us. Now what happens when the Srishti starts? Is it a creation? I'll just let me give you one simple way of explaining. According to Vedanta, creation is not a new production. There is nothing new. Just as when a potter makes a pot, he is not making anything new. In fact, he is not doing anything excepting it is the potter's wheel which gives a shape. Clay given a particular shape and size and color for a particular utility, this is what we call creation. And this imagery is also inadequate imagery. I will give you later on the correct imagery from the Mundaka Upanishad and other Upanishads also. But for now, what is it? Something is there, it is not manifest, and through some process, that unmanifested thing becomes manifest, remains manifest for some time, and goes back into that state of non-manifestation. An ornament is made out of gold, and it remains, that gold remains as that particular shaped ornament We call it ornament or earring or nose ring or a bangle or a finger ring, etc. And after some time when you melt it for some reason, then it remains gold, but it goes beyond nama rupa, name and form. If you understand that process, first point is there is no srishti other than the original material, which is God. Second point is that this nothing is new is created. What was there in an unmanifested state comes into manifestation and goes through some changes, because creation means time, time means change. There is a birth, there is a growth, there is becoming the fact of old, and one day it becomes holy, and one day it totally gives up its body. This whole process, because of time, that is why it is called vikara or changes, and Brahman is nirvikara. So it just goes back, and again the clay is made into these pot shapes, different shapes. This eternal process is called creation. So this is a beautiful idea which we will discuss in our next class, because the most fundamental Vedantic truth is being explained to us here. It is not that God has taken nothing or something and out of it made, and he remained separate from what he created. So the creature is different, the created is different. This wrong understanding created lot of wrong type of schools of philosophy. These are all called Dvaita systems of philosophy, which God, out of his infinite mercy, has incarnated as Sri Ramakrishna and started giving us the right idea, correct our misunderstanding, so that we understand what is the purpose of creation, and then we can get out of the creation. These are beautiful points we will discuss in our next class. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum.